Our lesson today is out of Psalm 105, verses 1 to 45, praising God for his deliverances. God repeatedly, faithfully delivers his people, and they owe him great praise for these merciful acts. Psalm 105 praises God for his deliverances of Israel in her history, but we do well to apply in our lives. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity that you grant us to fellowship around the Word of God. We thank you for the liberty that we enjoy. To do that, we ask for wisdom to utilize our time and our liberty wisely so that we can understand the text by the power of the Spirit of God, and then in the Spirit's enabling, live it for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read it in the King James Version, the King's English, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew. Psalm 105. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, or aliens in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine on the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a slave, whose feet they hurt with fetters. And he was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron with whom he had chosen. They showed us signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent them darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters to blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. That would be lightning. He smote the vines also in their fig trees and broke the trees in their coasts. He spoke and the locusts came and the caterpillars and that without number and did eat up all the herbs in the land and devour the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land and the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail, which was a delicacy in those days, and satisfied them even with bread of heaven, that's manna. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord, or as we say, hallelujah in Hebrew. Okay, we translate the psalm as follows. Verse 1, O give thanks to Yahweh. That's the I am. God, call on his name, make known among the peoples what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his extraordinary acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Look to Yahweh in his strength and seek his face always. Remember the extraordinary things which he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, emphatic pronoun, is Yahweh, our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but a few in number, few indeed, and aliens in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. He called down famine on the land. He destroyed all their supplies of food. He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his ankles with shackles, and his neck was put in irons, till what he formed came to pass, till the word of the Lord Yahweh proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to discipline his princes as he pleased and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham. He made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his miraculous signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark, for they had not rebelled against his words. He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs, which went up into the bedrooms of their rulers. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He turned their rain into hail with lightning throughout their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, grasshoppers without number. They ate up every green thing in the land and ate up the produce of their soil. Then he struck down all the firstborn of the land, the firstfruits of all their manhood. He brought out Israel laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out like a river. It flowed out in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts, not shouts, shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to their toil of other peoples. In other words, they inherited what other peoples had worked for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise Yahweh, or hallelujah. They shorten the term Yahweh to just to Yah. That's why it's hallelujah. Technically, you should say hallelujah if you're good Hebrew. Well, the great theme of this psalm is that God's deliverances of Israel in her history. That includes his deliverance of the fathers from Gentile kings when they were few in number. That's 12 through 22. Of Israel from oppression in Egypt, verses 23 to 38. Of Israel from death in the wilderness, verses 39 to 43. And of Israel from destruction in conquering Canaan, so she even inherited farms that were prepared by Canaanites. All of these things make God worthy of praise. Now, obviously, this psalm was written as Israel was in the land. They had come in, they'd conquered the land. We're not sure exactly when it was, but it was after they got into the land. So this was their history from their perspective. So God's faithful deliverances of Israel down through history make him worthy of his people's praise. So may we praise God for his faithful deliverances of his people throughout history. You'll notice that I did not say, may we praise God for his faithful deliverances of us throughout our history. That doesn't mean that I don't mean that. We need to praise God for his deliverances of all of his people through history, and here's why. The nation Israel has to exist in order for there to be a Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If God had not provided for Israel, we wouldn't have had a Savior. If you and I wouldn't have had a Savior, we would have no hope. We would have no eternal life. So the existence of the nation Israel is absolutely necessary for God to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. Now, the Abrahamic covenant has not been completely fulfilled. It will be completely fulfilled at the end, when God, you know, we have the all the events of the future coming, great tribulation, the millennial kingdom, and then we get into the eternal state. That's when the Abrahamic covenant is actually fulfilled. In fact, the entire book of Revelation is built around the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Dr. Pentecost pointed this out in his book, Things to Come. And he did his doctoral dissertation on this, and it actually helped formulate Dallas Seminary's viewpoint. So, we need to thank God that he provided for his people when they were in the wilderness. He provided for the patriarchs when they were few in number, all that, because that has direct bearing on what happened to us. That happens to us, because it affects the coming of our Savior. Also, we can also praise God, since we are, you know, we're part of the people of God now because we believe in Christ. We can praise God for his provisions for us. God provides for us. He provides food. He provides clothing. He provides protection. He provides health and from a lot of diseases and a lot of problems. He also provides us his Spirit. He provides us insight into the Word of God, that we can get answers to questions that we have. God has worked in many, many ways to provide for us, so we can thank the Lord. I was thinking there's a lot of information here that is just, I wouldn't say glossed over, but it's just briefly summarized. But let me just point out, if we go back to Deuteronomy 8, 2-4, and Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, the Bible says that God kept their shoes from wearing out when they were in the wilderness. Think of it. The wilderness was desert. And you've got young people. I had a son who went through a pair of sneakers every 3 months when he was very active and so forth. Just wore them out. And constantly had to be getting that. And you think of the young people that they had in those days in the wilderness, out in the wilderness, which was hot, was dry, perspiration and so forth. And yet God kept their shoes from wearing out. He kept their clothes from wearing out. Think of it, 40 years wandering in the wilderness. People were walking around in the wilderness in the heat and the desert and so forth. For 40 years, God kept their clothes from wearing out. Then in Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 11, when they came into the land of Canaan, they didn't have to do what our forefathers did. Our forefathers had to, you know, they had to cut down trees and build log cabins. They had to, in the prairie, they built, sod houses where they would dig into the hillside of a prairie bluff and so forth and build a house out of that and put things over it. They had to start farming the prairie. They actually just start to plow right into the prairie grass itself and turn it over to create a farm. Israel didn't have to do that. The Canaanites already had vine groves, they had olive trees, they had houses, they had farms. And when they came in, they slew the Canaanites and just took up residence. They had wells that were already there. God provided it already for them. And it's amazing how God has helped them. We look at our lives and see how God has provided for us, how many times God has provided. Think of the last time you had to go and purchase a car and how the Lord provided us the selection of the car you were going to, all these little details. There are many, many ways that God has provided for us. So all of these things, not only to us, but to generations of Christians who went before us and also generations of believers going back beyond the era of the church age to believers in the Old Testament and so forth. God's provisions and God's deliverances of all of his people down through history who have given us the heritage that we have makes God worthy of his people's praise. So may we praise God for his faithful deliverances of his people. Yes, of us, sure. But of his deliverances of our forefathers and of these great saints of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth, and the people of Israel. May we praise God for his faithful deliverances of his people throughout history. So it's interesting how many times the scriptures call us to worship the Lord and to thank him and to praise him. Praise is not only fitting, it is incredibly healthy. Let's face it, we live in a world that is corrupt, that is a world that is winding down, is getting closer to the judgment of God. This is the last era of church history. And it's easy to get caught up in the negativism that often
is promoted by those who are longing for the good old days and so forth, and to get depressed over that. Well, God wants us to live above it, because we are living for a kingdom that is yet to come, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come, and we are going to rule with him. Now, if the rapture occurs today, that means roughly 7 years from now. I don't know the exact timeline. There are a matter of days, give or take, in this, if you look at the book of Daniel, chapter 12. But anyway, in another 7 years, then, we're going to have the start of the Messianic kingdom, and you and I are going to rule with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. And then we're getting into the eternal state after that. So if we look at it from a realistic standpoint, we're just around the corner from the kingdom. And so we have plenty to be optimistic about, and we certainly have plenty to thank the Lord for. I know I thank God every day for the background that my parents gave me and so forth, for the training, for opportunity to minister his word, the time this church gives me to study so I can dig information out for the people of God. I'm grateful for the fellowship that God's people provide. There are so many things for which we can be grateful. And if we are grateful, it's very, very good for us. Marge Gasser used to be involved. She was here, visited here a week or so ago, but she's been a physical therapist. And she said the attitude of thanksgiving and praise actually produce endorphins in the brain that are very, very healthy for the entire body. So physical therapists are actually trying now to work on the way people think to help them in regards to physical therapy. Because if a person is angry and depressed and so forth, you can do physical therapy and only do so much good. But the attitude has to change in the mind so you can change the chemical balance in the brain and throughout the rest of the body so there can be a full health and full restoration. So it's to our advantage, and it's to our blessing, as well as it's very fitting to praise God and to thank him. Okay, well...